today on Real Radio.
And when you call Muslims to pray together with, in this case, the Roman Catholic Church, I don't know, call me silly, but can I ask you, who y'all praying to?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 11 where the apostle continues to be quite open and transparent. He also continues contrasting false teaching with the truth of God's Word. In fact, the passage contains the famous description of Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Worship God with What You Are.
And listen, when you dedicate yourself to God, it is open field. Who can tell what God wants to do with you, with us, as a church? That joy, the hope of this breaks down, in my opinion, the individuality when it comes to ministry. Individuality is a wonderful thing. Independence, God gives that to you. You have a personal Savior. Listen, if you were the only child of Adam and Eve, after the fall, he would have come and died for you, for just you. Doesn't that blow your mind? I mean, really? I mean, I know I just said that, and I know you heard it, but do we really believe that? I mean, come on, let's be honest. That's tough to believe, but yet it's pure theology. Did you know that? It's hard for me to believe that Jesus, if Adam and Eve were my mom and dad, and they said, that's it, man. After that, we're not heaven anymore. Jesus Christ would have come and died for the three of us. That's theologically perfect. Did you know that? Theologically perfect. That is the nature of God. But see, do you see yourself that valuable to God that he would come and die for you? You better. He said, I don't understand it. I didn't ask you to understand it. I don't understand it. I'm asking you to believe him. I'm asking you to understand that for that commitment he made to you, we should naturally be dedicated to him. I was reading this weekend Nathaniel Hale. Anybody remember him from history, Nathaniel Hale? If you haven't, you need to go revisit his life. Nathaniel Hale was a spy for the Continental Congress. Nathaniel Hale was a young man. He had a good friend, which was also a key spy for George Washington, Benjamin Talmadge. And Nathaniel Hale is the famous guy that when he got caught by the British, because King George had issued the decree, when you find someone dedicated to their cause, if he's a spy, no trial, no hearing, he dies on the spot. So they caught Nathaniel Hale, strung up the rope, and they said, any last words? Can you imagine? He's young too. I forget how young he was, but he was young. He said, yep. Oh, listen to this. Gives me goosebumps. Because I see this as how I ought to be as a Christian. Nathaniel Hale said, yep. And those famous words. I only regret that I have one life to give for my country. Can you imagine? Well, for that, we're going to hang you twice. What a word. That was his last words. I only regret that I only have one life to give for my country. How much more that the country that you and I have a passport to is eternal, forever, heaven. And that we would say, I am so dedicated to Jesus for all that he's done for me. I only have this regret that I only have one life to live in this world for him. But we can live like we have 1,000 lives. I'm not going to let a cat have 9. I'm a Christian. I want to have an infinite amount of lives to be offered up for the Lord every day. We die daily, says the scriptures. Amen? We are to be a dedicated example. Verse 7, did I commit? Listen how sad. This makes you sad. Watch what makes you cry. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Are you guys so bent out of shape and hate me because I didn't come to town on some big entourage? I was just an average run-of-the-mill guy so that serving you could exalt the church at Corinth. You guys hate me because I was a humble dude? Because I didn't have you kiss my ring and walk around as some religious icon because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. They made fun of him because he preached the gospel and didn't take an offering. Today, that would be a welcomed event, would it not? Look what he says in verse 8. Here's, by the way, this is awesome. Irony. We get the word irony from this statement. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. Now, he didn't pull into town and say, hey, give me all your money. I'm going to send it to the Corinthians. What he was saying was, other churches who gave him money for his hard work of preaching and teaching the people, Paul took that money, and instead of spending it on other church outreaches, you know what he did? He spent it at the Corinthians. You say, how did he spend it at the churches in Corinth? He lived off of that support plus his own labor making tents. You know, he's a tent maker. So that the Corinthians would see a good witness and not attack him for taking money, because when Paul came to town, all the false teachers were taking money. Listen, the orators, the false apostles, they would preach the gospel and then take an offering. And are you sitting down? Listen to this. It still happens today. They are going to attack Paul by saying, hey, Corinthians, we know he's a fake. Listen to this. Listen to the psychology of this. Are you listening? Yes. We know he's a fake because when he preaches, he doesn't take an offering. If he was of God like us, when we preach, we take an offering. Do you hear the justification? Do you hear the bamboozling? If he were of God, he would rip you off like we are. Pretty sneaky, huh? Does this not happen today? If you want to see God work, you send in your money. Paul says, I preached it free of charge so that you'd have nothing to say. What an amazing man of God. They attacked him for that. No, dedicated to be an example. An example, always an example. Dedicated to be a servant, verse 9. He says, and when I was present with you and in need, I was burdened to no one. For what I lacked, if I had any needs, the brethren who came from Macedonia, they took care of it. Churches outside the region. Boy, I tell you what, if you're the Corinthian church, you ought to have some shame of face going on right there. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. So I will keep myself. Isn't that awesome? You hear that? I love that. Verses 10 through 11, listen to what he says here. He says, and so as the truth of Christ is in me. So here we see dedicated to be loving. To be loving. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Greece, Achaia. Why, you say? Why? Because I don't love you? God knows. It's a sarcasm. It's beautiful. You don't think I love you? Is that what you think? God knows how much I do love you. Isn't that beautiful? So be loving. As a Christian, we are to be dedicated to being loving. Isn't it hard sometimes to be loving? It is hard. Admit it. It's hard. I got to tell you, if I lived in Greece, I would not go to the Corinthian church. Do you remember 1 Corinthians and then through 2 Corinthians? I wouldn't go to this church. This is a messed up church, man. Paul says, I love him. I say, how can you love him? I love him. He loved him with the heart of God. Dedicated to loving others. Who we are as Christians is marked by how we love other people. The sad thing is today we love people with the love of Christ, but the world cannot detect real love when they see it. We reach out to love people. Sometimes that means telling people, you shouldn't be going down that path. Oh man, where's the love? You ever heard that? I hear that a lot. I don't know, call me crazy, but I don't think you should be sleeping with your neighbor. Oh dude, you're judging me. Where's the love, man? You hear what I'm saying? This is the age we live in today. Yikes. No, if you love somebody, listen, it's true as a believer that wherever we go, we're to be that manifestation of the love of God. Those wannabes, these false apostles, they were not. Which leads us, by the way, to our final push, verses 12 to 15. Hang on to your seats. The Christian is ready. The third thing is that the Christian is ready. You say, ready for what? Well, before I answer that, I want you to think about who you are for a moment. Listen, just listen. The Christian is ready because you have been forgiven by the Almighty God. You are ready because, as a Christian, there is now therefore no condemnation over your head. What are you going to do with this stuff? You've been freed from the power of sin and death. What are you going to do with this freedom? You have been made a new creation in Christ. So, what are you going to do with all this newness? You have been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. What are you going to do with that? Your names have been written down in heaven, reserved, waiting for you to arrive. There's a seat in heaven with your name on it. Think of that. That's who you are. That's what you are. I am a sinner saved by the blood of Christ. The great, wonderful pastor, Dr. Harry Ironside, said, when we get to heaven, the door is going to say, all who will enter in. He said, I'm going to grab that door. I'm going to open the door and I'm going to walk in. And I'm going to go into that room and I'm going to see a banqueting table with all the saints of God sitting at it. And I'm going to turn back around. I'm going to look through that door that I walked through. And it's going to say, saved from the foundations of the world. The Bible says God knew you before you were ever born. Say, Pastor, this is so encouraging. Good, because you're going to need it. Listen, Christian, be ready, because you can be ready. You've been instructed to be ready. You're on call to be ready. Number one, ready to persevere. Ready to persevere. He says, but what I do, listen to him. Listen to the strength. And I personally see hot tears running down his cheeks as he's writing this. But what I do, I will continue to do. Why? That I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be, listen to this, regarded as they want to be. They're looky-loos. They're false believers. They want to be regarded just as we are regarded in the things which they boast. In other words, they're full of words, no action. They're false. Their lives are one thing on stage, completely different behind stage. Jesus said in John 8:31, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in me, my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. That is awesome. He says, what I do, I will continue to do. I'm going to persevere on in my calling. Church, listen, don't answer. But are you a Christian? Yes. Then move on with it. Go. Stay true. Be committed in these last days. Press on. You're going to need this in a moment. I'm going to shock you here in a moment. Actually, I'm not going to shock you. I'm just going to show you something that's all over the world right now. And I'm wondering if you know about it. Secondly, be ready to realize. Ready. He says, verse 13, for such are false apostles. The word is pseudo. You ever heard that word before? Pseudo apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder. Wow, listen to this. This is who their boss is. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. This is a direct frontal attack by the great apostle Paul against spiritual imposters. I want to give you this methodically and then come to an end. False apostles, pseudo apostles, the word means this. Mark it down. Pretenders. False teachers. Listen to this. The word means off-course instructors. Yikes. They know that they're off course. They have somehow justified it in their minds, and they take their students and they lead them off a course that's even further off course than they're off course. They make them twice the child of hell than they are themselves. Paul says they're pseudo-apostles. Strong words, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, might I remind you, this is the apostle who wrote 1 Corinthians 13. You can find it in every Hallmark store in town. Love, remember? And this is love right now. Don't be confused. Are you guys with me? Is anyone out there? Are you here today? Listen, this is love. This is love to tell people like it is. This is love to see to it that you're not led astray. Paul says, watch out. These are pseudo-apostles who are off course, and they're taking people off course in their wake. Watch out for them. Be ready and realize. Watch out. Deceitful workers. Secretly subversive. The word means to gain or to deceive by trickery. To bait. To use, listen to this, this is eerie. This is sickening. To use the craft of personality or human persuasion to deceive or to make a false disciple. That's called a click. To follow someone for their persuasive personality. We're suckers for that. I'm not saying you. I'm saying humanity. That's why Hollywood gets all the acclaim that it does. Transforming themselves. Look at your Bible. Transforming themselves. By the way, we get the word metastasize. To self-appoint or to self-ordain someone or yourself. To, listen, to transfigure or to disguise or to grant yourself a title. To label yourself by your own doing. Self-appointed people. To act of self-promotion with the intent to deceive. Transforming themselves. This is all attributes of Satan. And those who follow Satan, Satan gives them those powers to deceive, just like he does. Okay, listen. Are you guys, I'm going to show you something. I need you to be awake. I'm going to give you three slides. We'll start with the first one. This is happening now. Vatican, June 8th. Israel, Palestinian peace prayer. Shimon Peres, Mahmoud Abbas, and the Pope have gathered together to his house, he says, to build a bridge of peace between Israel and their enemies in the neighborhood. Listen, to those of you who don't know what the Bible says, that sounds good. To those of you who know what the Bible says, that's a wow thing today. That's a wow thing today. My Bible said that was going to happen, and I'm living today, right now, with that going on, read the book of Revelation 17 and 18. Read Daniel chapter 2, 7 and 9. I'm so glad to be alive right now. This is awesome. Next slide. Pope's very busy. Peres Abbas to attend Vatican prayer event. That's from a different source. Next, Islamic prayers to be held at the Vatican by Islamic imams. Why? Because the Pope invited an imam and Muslims to come and pray in the Vatican. Ladies and gentlemen, we need peace between Israel and her neighbors. The book of Daniel says there's going to be a false religious leader that is going to organize a 7-year peace contract between Israel and their neighbors. Let's see how this goes. And when you call Muslims to pray together with, in this case, the Roman Catholic Church, I don't know, call me silly, but can I ask you, who y'all praying to? You need to help me out here. Who you praying to? Because I'm asking, watch. Now, some of you are going to write me a note. Just go ahead and write it. But if you don't sign it, I won't read it. If you don't sign it, I ain't going to read it. Every note I get, I look to see if I can respond to you before I ever read it. If I can't, I just go like this. So if you write it, write it right, and put your name on it. Your name. I've found those too. Makeup names. Vatican. Pope invites Muslims to come and pray in the Vatican. I don't know. Are you Catholic? Is the Vatican a big deal? Look, I'm a Christian, and I went to the Vatican. Pretty big deal. Pretty awesome place. I didn't like it, but it was pretty amazing. But listen, are you a Catholic today? A lot of people who come here are Catholic people. Your Pope is hosting Islamic prayers this weekend in the Vatican. If you say that we all pray to the same God, that opens up a whole can of worms, because it certainly isn't true. Islam has a completely different God than the Roman Catholics do. So when they go to pray, are prayers being offered up to various gods? I didn't make up those words. That's a fact. And if you sit here today and say, well, as long as you're sincere, I guess that's okay. Tell that to God. I'm sure the prophets of Baal and the Astaroths were very sincere. Pretty sincere when you offer up your firstborn child, don't you think? You better make sure you're a Christian and following Jesus, not some man. By the way, was that the last slide? I think it was, right? Anybody? Yeah? That last slide came from a Muslim newspaper, a Muslim website. Interesting. Finally, we end here. Verse 15. The Christian is ready to finish. Aren't you ready to finish after seeing that? Amen, Jesus. Let's go home. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Do you hear that? Deception. How many people are going to be saying, this is awesome, what's happening in Rome? Yep, well, Satan transforms himself and his ministers into angels of light or righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I want to ask you right now as we end in this. Are you somehow grieved by our humbleness here to just go simply through the Bible, word for word, with not much pizzazz? Does it bother you that I'm not wearing a robe? Have we somehow offended you by not putting on some amazing oratory show? Does it bother you that I would walk through the hallways or the courtyard or the parking lot and say hi to you? Is it wrong for me to say, how you doing? Do ministers of God do such things? Would you feel better if I had an office that was maybe on the second or the third floor, which we don't have, but maybe you'd feel better if I had a third floor office, kind of suspended in the atmosphere and it glows. Would that make you feel better? If that would make you feel better, you are bound and deceived by the trappings of religion. And you're no different than those who bamboozled the believers in Corinth called the false apostles. It's always been with us. It will be with us until Christ takes the church out. And there are people today that want to take your faith and mingle it with strange fire and a perverse offering. And it's happening today in the Vatican as I speak. You will choose to either follow Jesus or follow man.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Worship God with What You Are. It's a lesson taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Worship God with What You Are, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, you can write to Pastor Jack anytime and let him know if Real Radio is a part of your day. He really does love to get words of encouragement, as you can well imagine. Here's what one Real Radio listener in the Pacific Northwest wrote. Thank you, Pastor Jack, for your teachings. I listen to you every day on 820 AM KGNW here in Washington State. Thank you for your honesty and discussions on subjects that other ministries seem to avoid. And thank you for braving the politically correct, the media, and the naysayers. May the Lord continue to bless you and your ministry. And that one comes from Esther in the Northwest. Thanks so much, Esther, for that. Again, let Pastor Jack know how Real Radio is aiding you in your growth as a believer. We'd love to hear about it. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Simply click on the Contact Us link, and the rest is real easy. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.